We're just going to welcome our guest speaker today. I'll just tell you a little bit about him before he comes up here. I have my notes from Ben. So we're going to introduce Jim, and I forget your last name, Jim Hall. Okay, Jim Hall. Jim Hall runs the House of Prayer in Edmonton. Before that, he was a pastor in a couple of different churches, including Central Baptist in Edmonton, serving alongside Terry Fawcett, who's been here many times. He and Terry are still good friends, and it was Terry who made the connection between Jim and Ben. Jim is a graduate of North American Baptist Seminary, which is now Taylor Seminary. He's married and has two kids. He might tell us a little bit more about himself, but that's the notes I have on him today. So we come up, and I'll just pray with you before. God, we thank you for your servant, Jim, and for the timing that worked out for him to come here today. Thank you that he was willing and made a sacrifice to be here today to share your word. God, will you just be with him as he shares? May you speak through him. We know that you will. You have brought a message for us today, and may we just be open to hearing it and just bless this time in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Off here. Well, it is, it's really good to be here. It's been fun getting to know Ben the last, few months ago. We got connected, as Megan said, through Terry. And so that's just been, it's been a lot of fun. It's fun to journey up here or down here to Red Deer. And I always forget which direction I'm going, but it's a lot of fun. As Megan said, I am in Edmonton. I'm the director of a ministry that's called House of Prayer Edmonton. Been married, my wife Pam and I, we're coming up on 25 years. I think you believe that. It's harder for me to believe than anyone else, but 25 years, it's been awesome. And we have two kids. They're both in university. They're both attending the University of Alberta. My eldest daughter, Rebecca, is finishing up. She'd be embarrassed, but I'm going to say that she's finishing up her degree in honors math. And, I'm still learning what she's going to do with it when she's done, but honors math, which is amazing to me because I really disliked math when I was in school. My son Josiah is in second year, of engineering at the U of A. And both of them are just so, so glad that there's in-person learning. As opposed to last year, where it was entirely online, and you just sort of look and wow, what a way to do that. So, so that's a little bit of who I am, and just thinking a little bit about House of Prayer, because when I say that I'm, when people ask me what do? The first thing I do is I say that I'm a pastor. That's my training. I went to seminary, did a church, worked with Terry, did a church plant. In Edmonton. And then from that, we began a ministry, this ministry that's called House of Prayer Edmonton. And basically what House of Prayer Edmonton does is we facilitate prayer in and around the city amongst a cross-denominational group of people and churches. And so we facilitate on a daily basis gatherings where people come to pray. Now, admittedly, we're doing most of that on Zoom for the last umpteen months. We've been using Zoom. So I'm very familiar with all of you that are on Zoom. I guess I should look at the camera and say hello. And so we do that a lot, but we also have some in-person aspects as well. And we started back in 2003. I started doing it on a full-time basis in 2009. And when we first started back in 2003, we did stuff that was on a monthly basis. And then eventually we moved to doing things, gathering together for prayer on a weekly basis. And now we do it on a daily basis during the weekdays. And so that's a fantastic thing that we're doing, and just helping to mobilize prayer, because prayer is something that we know is important. We all say it's important, like fruits and vegetables, but we really need to exhort one another in the activity of prayer and just the important, not only the importance of it, but just the building up, like, how do we do it? Why do we do it? What do we do when we gather together in prayer? So that's a bit of what I do with life, and I love it because I get to work with a lot of different churches. I get to speak like this in different churches from different denominations and different types of Baptists, and so it's a lot of fun. it's a lot of fun. So today what I want to do is I want to take some time to look at really discovering God's rhythms for our lives. And I think that just healthy rhythms and practices that help us in our own walk with God. I think this is especially important during these days in which this is challenging. We all understand that life is challenging right now. And I believe that some of the practices that God has given to us help us to understand sort of the rhythms that we can fit into our daily life. So no matter what you're doing with your day, whatever your daily responsibilities might be, my prayer is that some of these practices, some of them you will already do, others of them you might want to reintroduce and reincorporate into your life. And so I just want to look at that both today, and I'm going to be here next week. And so I'm going to kind of do a two-part group on just developing and discovering healthy spiritual rhythms, which I think are, again, it's particularly because some of us, you know, we've been online and some of us are still online, which is great. A lot of what happens to the church that my family and I attend in Edmonton, done a lot of stuff online. And so just understanding how do we sort of function in that whole thing. So what I'm going to do is just start us off and we'll pray and then we'll begin to dig in together. So let's just pray again. Lord, just thank you for this morning and for this people, God, for those of us that are in the room and for those that are online on Zoom. God, I thank you for this spiritual community. I thank you for the opportunity to be here with them. Lord, I'm asking Holy Spirit that you would be the one that speaks. We need more than just a talk or something like that. We don't need that. We need you, Lord, to bring the words of life. And so I pray that it would not be just with wise or eloquent words, but that there would be a demonstration of your power that witnesses that witness, that stirring, Lord. God, I know that I could speak to a mind, but only you can speak to a heart. And so I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. But we come even right now and we position ourselves, we posture ourselves before you, and we say, Lord, you have the words of life. And we ask for you to speak to us even now through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I was to ask a question, I might want to say, how are you feeling this morning? Maybe somebody would ask you, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And typically, when you get an answer, you start thinking in terms of like, well, how am I feeling physically? You know, maybe I'm not feeling the best physically, or maybe I'm, you know, I've got a headache, or, you know, you think around some of those physical, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. And especially if you get beyond, I'm doing okay. If you get a little bit further than that, well, you know, okay, you know, my knee is sore or whatever, you know, we think that, or I'm feeling great. I feel, you know, that things are fantastic. Or you might think about what kind of a mood you're in. You might think, well, I'm bummed out. I'm sick and tired of all this COVID stuff, and I'm tired of wearing masks, and I'm just sort of bummed out. And we might sort of think about the mood that we're in, whether mad, glad, sad, whatever it might be, in terms of how you're doing. I think there might be a different question that I want to pose this morning. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? How are you feeling spiritually? And again, you can kind of think about that. And there's a wide variety of answers, and it changes. You know, like it changes. One week you might be feeling like, yeah, I'm feeling good spiritually. I feel like, you know, maybe you had a good time of worship, or maybe you were, you know, you were able to read the Bible, or you had a good small group meeting, or like, you know, or church was particularly meaningful. In particular, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling okay spiritually, and I think we just need to think through some of those things in a particular way. How am I doing? You can even take time, maybe this afternoon. You can just sort of, you know, go for a walk or sit down and just like, maybe I should take stock. Like, how am I doing? You know, if you got a friend or a family member, you might want to have a conversation about it. I think that it's something that God cares a great deal about. And there's the passage that I want to actually anchor us in this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read just a few verses of it. And Isaiah 55, where it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, come and buy wine and milk. Come without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy?" Listen, this is the Lord speaking. He says, listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. And then moving down just to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and our God, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And what I want to look at this morning is the way in which God offers to you. And I'm going to ask that you insert yourself in this, that you see yourself in this, in these verses, that God is saying something to you, not just to the prophet Isaiah and not just to the people that you might think of or somebody else or somebody that a lot of times we tend to look at these things and think that it's intended for somebody that's a little bit more spiritual than we are. You know, well, it's for so-and-so because they've got it together spiritually. I don't think it's really for me, or I don't think so, or I've had a bad week and I feel like a loser. And so it's not, it must not be for me. But no, this is actually, honestly, it's for you that the Lord says. It's an invitation to come and rest in a weary, in the midst of a weary world. And honestly, this is exactly the way that this is the world in which we are living. We are tired. We are tired. We are weary. We are in many cases fed up. If we're honest, and why not be honest? That's what we should be. So we're tired. We're weary. We're wondering, when is this all going to move forward? When are we going to be done with all of this? You know, whether it's COVID or maybe you're weary of all of the political science. There's an election that is tomorrow. And, you know, so maybe we'll be happy and relieved when all the signs are gone. I don't know. You've got a good number of signs here in Red Deer, just like we have in Edmonton as well. So, but there's this weariness that we're all dealing with. And so this is why I think this is so important to us. And the first thing that God brings to us is this invitation to come to him. And it's an invitation that is for everyone. Like who's the invitation for? Well, some are invited and others aren't. Nope. Everybody is invited to come to God. He says, come. You know, come, you who are thirsty, you who are weary, you who are tired, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. And he says very emphatically, come. And it's one of these passages, and there's a few of them in the Bible where the Lord speaks and says, you know, and breaks down all the barriers and just says, no, there's no exclusions. There's no one that's left out. All of you are invited to come. And there's no excuses, you know, like, oh, well, I don't have any. In the passage, you know, it says, if you know, you who don't have any money, like, don't use the money as an excuse. Come anyways. Like, really what that poetic language is saying is, don't allow the excuses to prevent you from coming to God. Well, I'm not really good at that prayer thing, or I'm not really good at I just don't really feel God's presence. I don't know. It's just somebody else. And the Lord says, get rid of all of the excuses. I'm too young, or I haven't been a Christian for long enough. Or, like, these are all excuses that are really the Lord saying, don't worry about those things. Come to me, come, you who are tired, you who are weary, come and you'll find rest. There's actually in that one verse in Isaiah 55, the first verse, it says the word come four times. It's like, come, no, you come again, no, come to me, is what the Lord is saying. And it's just, it's so important. So he invites us to come to him, And then then there's this invitation to come and to listen. And I love the journey that you guys have been on, the invitation that Ben has been giving related to listening prayer. Really, and he shared with me. I had an opportunity a few weeks ago. I was in Red Deer and visiting with somebody else, and he and Ben and I were able to get acquainted. I came and met him here at the church. We talked, and he just shared with me for a while about some of the aspects of the journey that you guys have been on, and the ways in which God is speaking, and that's honestly so amazing, and just so fantastic a journey to be on. And the reality is, I want to say to all of you that this is for that invitation to listen and to hear the Lord is for all of you. And this is one, I'm off my notes for a second here, which is a good sign. That a lot of times when we're in a community and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to people, whether they feel an impression or whether it's a dream or however the Lord might be speaking, I've seen it. I've been in many, many situations and communities where this kind of thing has really started in a special way. And in every time, the tendency is to think, well, it's for somebody else. It's for that person over there because they're more spiritual than I am. That they can hear and I can't. Or you have a time where you have a time of listening, prayer, whether it's in a worship service like this or in another setting, and you go and you try and you pray and you try and listen, and then what happens is that you don't feel like you hear anything, but somebody else feels like they've heard something, and they might share, well, I felt like God said this, or I felt like God said something like this, or I had this dream last night, and everything, and what happens is that others of us have the reaction of going, well, I didn't see anything and I didn't hear anything. I must be a spiritual neophyte. And we count ourselves out in this. So I want to say today that the invitation of the Lord to come to him and to listen to him. Now, listening implies that someone is speaking. So to come and to listen to the Lord is for you. It is for all of you, whether you've been walking with the Lord for 30 years or 3 months or 3 days, there is the invitation to come and to listen to him and to hear his voice. And this is really what it says. There's this promise. It says in verse 3, give ear and come to me, hear me that your soul may live. Now, I want to just highlight that phrase, that your soul may live. Now we have a physical body, and we know what it is to be alive in our physical bodies, whether we might not feel as some alive as others, but you feel you're alive. All of us know that we're alive in this room, and all of you that are on Zoom, you know that you're alive, depending on these kind of things. But how's your soul? How's your soul? And part of what it means to be a Christian and a Christ follower is that we put our faith in Christ, and then the Lord comes and he brings new life. So what did we talk in some circles where Jesus talked about, you must be born again. And so there's that physical birth where we were born, however many years ago it was. But there's that time when spiritually we become born again. We become, life comes into our soul and we have life. And so this is the standard where the Lord says, give ear, come to me and hear so that your soul will live. And I mean, when it says live and that your soul would live, that you'd have a vibrancy, that you would have health in your soul. That's why I started out with the question. We can talk and I can say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? And you might tell me about how you're feeling physically or what kind of a mood you might be experiencing. But the question that I asked at the beginning, how are you doing spiritual, is really this thing that your soul, how's your soul? Do you feel like your soul is flourishing, or are you just getting by? Is your head, just above the water and you feel like you're coming under? Or how are you doing spiritually? And the Lord
has this invitation. Come to me so that there's life in your soul. Come to me that there would be that's just the newness of life. And, you know, there's that the invitation of the New Testament, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing thing. I'm sure you guys know this and or have heard it. The invitation is to keep on being filled. You know, it's one of those things that you just sort of continually seek to do. And the Lord wants to fill us on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I'm going to come to that. I'll mention it now. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we see that you've got a pretty good thing going with prayer. You seem to know how to do it. Can you tell us how to do that? Can you just teach us and show us how to pray? And he says a number of things, and he also includes what we understand and refer to now as the Lord's Prayer. And one of the parts of the Lord's Prayer is, give to us today our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We know that we need bread. We need physical food on a daily basis. Your soul needs to be nourished on a daily basis. Your soul needs to be nourished. And that's one of the great things. Like it's awesome to come. It's awesome to come and join in a worship service like this, coming in person or being online. And that's great. But if we want to actually do more, your soul needs more nourishment than what can be given on what can be found once a week on a Sunday. It needs actually more. Like, imagine if you just ate once a week, you'd find out pretty quick that you need something to nourish you and to strengthen your body. Your soul needs that too. You need connection. And so when Jesus comes and says, give to us today our daily bread, yes, that is Jesus saying, you know, that we need to pray and ask the Lord to provide for us like our food on a daily basis. We need to be grateful for the food that God has given to us. But we also need to understand that, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we understand, now that's Jesus quoting from the Old Testament, and we understand that our souls need God to nourish our souls. And so this is the invitation. So to listen, we listen to what God is saying through the written word. So that's why it's so important. And I love the tradition that I've been raised in, the Baptist tradition of just the importance of the scriptures, the importance, because I love, there's a guy named Paul Kane years ago, and he said that the way that the Lord loves to speak most is through the scriptures, or the chariot that the Lord loves most is the scriptures. He speaks the most to us through his word, but he also speaks to us through just those subjective impressions that the Holy Spirit gives to us. When we're sitting in a room like this and we become quiet and Megan invites us to listen and to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, he's got things that he wants to say to us. And he speaks in a variety of ways. And I know that's some of the journey that that Ben has been helping you guys, and that you're not helping, but really as a church, as a community, you're on this journey together and just discovering in fresh ways how the Holy Spirit speaks in the variety of ways that he speaks. And so we need to listen. But then there's this great exhortation that begins in verse 6, where it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. So there's that seeking the Lord. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God who will freely pardon. So there's this... you know, if you've been around for a while, maybe there was that old chorus, trust and obey. I won't hurt your ears by attempting to sing it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So it's one of those songs that I particularly didn't care for a lot, but it's stuck in my brain because that's the way it was. But the truth of it is awesome. And that's what these verses are talking about. We not only do we need to hear, but we need to do something about it. We need to act. You know, to put it in the language that James uses in the book of James, you know, we don't want to just look in the mirror and see what we look like, and then we turn away, and then we forget instantly what what we look at, what we look like. You know, in the same way, we want to hear what God is saying, but then we want to act on it as well. And so the prophet Isaiah comes, and he's got these, started out with that sort of word from God that says, come. And then he begins to write, and he says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the evil one his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy, turning to our God, who will freely pardon. There's this exhortation to respond. And so one of the things that just when we're hearing, when we're listening, is we want to say, Lord, what are you calling me to? How are you calling me to respond? What are you calling me to do? What are you calling me to believe? Because sometimes the Lord will say something to us, and really, here's the place of obedience. The place of obedience is to believe it. To believe it. You know, Ben shared with me, and I know that he shared it in your midst, is just that word of about his own healing of his back. And so there's that one thing of saying, well, that's a word, but you know, do you believe that God's going to do that? So that's an invitation to believe and to say, yes, Lord, I believe that that's true. But a lot of times there's also a thing that needs to change. There's an attitude. Maybe there's something, you know, the Lord will come and say, you know, like something that you've said, something that you've done, and say, look, there needs to be a shift here. There's a change. And he comes, and the way that we picture that is really important. We should not picture God as standing over us with a big stick in his hand, ready to hit us for doing something wrong. This is not the picture. That Jesus was very, very clear to us. He was very clear when he came, and he said, you need to see that God is as a father who gives good gifts to his children. He, as a father who cares. This is why the New Testament is really clear about that, that God is our Father, and that we should see him, and says, like, when you come and ask, you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, Jesus said. By whom? By your Father who is in heaven. How then should you pray? Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. How are we to address God? How are we to see him? And to see him as one. So when we hear and there's these verses in Isaiah, and it's talking about, you know, turn from your wicked ways, there are times when God will speak to us and call us to his way of doing things. And he'll share with us, and he'll tell us areas where he wants us to work, things that he wants to work on. We all do that. That's the way that we were raised. We were raised by parents who just, you know, brought some correction to our lives. And that's what we do with our children. And so this is normal and natural. And this is the way that God does it with us. So there's this hearing, the listening, and then there's also the obeying. There's that turning towards the Lord, knowing in a very, very important way that there is mercy and there is forgiveness. So when we have communion, as we did just moments ago, when we shared communion together, this is us coming to Jesus's table. We are gathering to his table. This is, again, this theme of invitation. We have been invited by Jesus to come to his table and to be at his table and to receive from him mercy and forgiveness. So we come to the table and we're open and we're honest, we're genuine with our shortcomings and our sinfulness. And we say, Jesus, nothing is hidden from your sight. You know, you heard, you understand, you know what's going on. I confess, I repent. And the invitation and the promise is that there is mercy and there is forgiveness when we come to the Lord. And that is the power. That is one of the great importances. Communion is so much more than just us remembering that Jesus died on the cross. It is that. Okay? It is. Do this in remembrance of me. So we remember that Jesus died on the cross, but there is also coming and receiving from him, coming and receiving from him the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. That when we leave here, having taken communion, the intent is that we come with the assurance in our souls that we have been forgiven. That whatever may have happened this week, every one of us had a different week over the last 7 days. And whatever happened that wasn't in agreement with the Lord, and you know all that stuff, the stuff that you're carrying, the stuff that you experience, all of that, that needs, that can be dealt with. And you move out of, from this place, or you, you know, into the rest of your week, for those of you that are online, that there is a, an assurance of forgiveness. And so I just really want to just to highlight that to us. So, you know, as we consider how we're doing and in spiritual terms, you know, how are you doing spiritually? How is your soul? How, what is the, what's the status of your soul? There's this invitation. First of all, come to Him. Don't make excuses and think that it's for somebody else. No, the invitation is for you. It's very important. So you should come. You are invited. You are invited to the Lord's table. You are invited into fellowship with God. You are invited to hear. You're invited to listen, that we can all listen, and that we can all respond. We can all seek Him, and through our response, like through our actions through the week and stuff. And so those are our things. Now, as I kind of begin to wrap things up this morning, I just want to give some of these practical aspects that I mentioned. You know, there, just as we all understand that there's healthy rhythms in our that affect our bodies, like we need to be physically active, and in order to maintain health and strength in our bodies, you know, we need to exercise, but we also need to sleep, and we need to eat healthy. You know, there's also healthy rhythms in our spiritual life, and I just want to offer just very quickly three, because there's so many you could talk about, but three specific practices that I believe every one of us can incorporate into our daily lives, that I believe just fundamentally from the scriptures will result in us having greater vitality and strength within our souls. Okay? Come to me that your souls may be full. Come to me that you may live. This is the invitation of the Lord. So the first one is, and these are really simple, and they're not brand new. In fact, they're extremely old. I think all of you will have heard of them before, but I want to just bring by way of remembrance this challenge. First is the practice of stillness. We live in a very, very active world, very busy world. There's a ton going on. If, you know, again, you know, when you typically go to somebody and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, they'll, "Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. How's your week?" "Oh man, work's been killer." You know, and what, so the busyness is a huge part. So stillness gets lost in the whole thing. But Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So just enter into stillness. Enter into quiet, enter into that. And you know, there's another one that I've really, here's the verse that's really been challenging me in the last few weeks. It's from Psalm 131, where the psalmist says, "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child is my soul within me." And I just say that again. I love this. I have stilled and quieted my soul. Do you know how to still and quiet your soul? Do we know how to actually do that? This is a practice that, and one of the ways that you know you do this is actually through stillness. So in one of the ways that you can actually just, it's super simple, you know, is you just have a time and a place and an opportunity where I find it's best to just to sit and just become quiet, like, and just sit. You know, and I always get a kick out of it, like when I've been in church circles a long time, and so usually when there's like, we're going to take a moment of quiet, and it's in the service, and it's 5 seconds long. I haven't even begun to, I might've been physically not saying anything for those 5 seconds, but my brain is going. My brain is, the hamster is giving her and wanted. I need a couple minutes. I'm in this group that do it, this prayer group that I'm a part of, and we're practicing some new rhythms, and they really, the silence and stillness is one of the things. We gather together and we start with 3 minutes of silence, like that, but for 3 minutes. And the first couple times that we did it, I'm sitting there going, this is so long. When is it going to be over? Like, I just couldn't believe it was, wow, this is so long. But now I'm actually used to it. And it seems like those 3 minutes just fly by. So the practice of stillness, I'd really honestly, a great way to do this, you can do it at any time of the day. I think any time is a good time to do it. But a particularly good time is maybe there's a way that you could do it at the beginning of your day, towards the start. And so you could do it that way. I just think that that's the thing. But just allowing and just, but not just sort of like, you want to focus on God. You want to be still and just think about God. And one of the ways that I just do that is I'll just literally in my mind, I'll just say, you know, just because my mind sometimes will go and I'll think about the things I got to do. So I'll just, I'm like this and I'll just in my mind or, you know, quietly under my breath, I'll just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are here. And I just, it just, that statement just focuses my, it just, and it stills. So how do you still and quiet your soul? So the practice of stillness, incorporating that, that's a healthy rhythm. Then the second one is the practice of thanksgiving. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's one of those verses that honestly has irritated me at various times because it's just like, okay, it's God's will. I can't get away from it. This isn't just a good idea and somebody said it was a good idea. No, this is God's will for me. Like, okay, or, you know, like I just go, okay, that's where it is. Let me just really quickly, what are two things on a daily basis, just taking the time, practice and say, what are two things that I'm thankful for? You could do it at the end of the day. You could look back. This would be a good way to sort of, as you're getting ready for bed or whatever, just take 2 minutes. You could be still. You could practice stillness right then. And just say, what are two things that happened today in the last 24 hours that I'm thankful for? Just two things. Come up. Just get into a discipline. So I have a book that I write in and I've done it for several years. And, you know, I don't bat 1,000 in this by any stretch, but I'll have this thing and I write a few things in it. And one of the things is I have two things that I'm thankful for. I have two things that I'm looking forward to in the day ahead because I want to practice and grow in thankfulness. Because it orients you. Because if you're thinking about what's irritating you and what you're upset about, you carry that through the day. You can change things by focusing on what you're thankful for. You know, I know that last week was Thanksgiving and whatnot, but we can still do it now. We can still be thankful. We don't have to stop because it's God's will for us all in Christ Jesus. So that's another one. And then the last one that I want to mention is the practice of prayer. But particularly, I want to call us to the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. You can, if you don't know where it is, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. And then it goes on from there. It's really short. And I would encourage you to pray around it and actually listen around it. And what I mean by listen is I believe that God will take like a highlighter and he'll draw your attention. He'll highlight one of those things. He'll highlight something from that and you'll just start thinking about it. It's the thing that will stand out. You'll open your Bible or turn to it on your phone or however, and you'll look at it. You read the Lord's Prayer slowly, like don't, you know, our Father in heaven, don't do it that way. Like slow it down, read it, and then notice where your attention lies. Notice to the word or the phrase that stands out to you. And then, because you know what? That's 9.5 times out of 10. That's where the Lord wants you to focus, you know, and that phrase. So you don't have to go through the whole thing, but just listen for that thing. Those impressions, that just that leading, that nudge. I call it the divine highlighter, where it's just sort of like, yep, that's the doubt. That's what I want to do. Lord, help me, or Lord, I thank you, or whatever. And just listen and pray around that a little bit. So these are what I refer to as on-ramps. I went to a church one time and they told me I had to conclude the sermon with on-ramps. And I was like, what are on-ramps? And then I kind of figured out what the on-ramps were, kind of, it's obvious, but they're just like action points. They're things that we can tangibly do in our week. And I've actually really liked that. And so I've tried to do on-ramps. And so the on-ramps that I want to offer to you today are I'm referring to it as the 2x2 challenge. Okay. 2x2 challenge. So 2 minutes of stillness, 2 minutes of stillness, 2 things that you're thankful for, 2 minutes of the Lord's Prayer, just listening around the Lord's Prayer, saying it, and just allowing yourself to listen to what part of the Lord's Prayer you're drawn to, and then if it goes on beyond 2 minutes, then gold, that's bonus for sure. So just the 2x2 challenge, 2 minutes of stillness, 2 things that you're thankful for, and 2 minutes of listening within the Lord's Prayer. If you will do that on a daily basis this week, try it. Let's just do it. And I won't ask you next week or to tell me the results. So it's not a test. So don't be afraid. Come back next week. But just let's try it. Why don't we try it? We'll do the 2x2 challenge. Just see what those things are. And see what it begins to produce in your life. These are rhythms that help our souls. And so we can, in these trying times, we can have vitality. We can have the vitality that comes to our souls. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for the promise that you give to us, this invitation to flourish. I just think, oh Lord, you want us to flourish. You want more for us than just to survive. Lord, thank you that you want us to, in our spirit, in our soul, that our souls should live, that we should come to you and live and find life for our souls. I thank you for the fact that you've made us, you know, creatures of habit. You've created us with a physical body that there's rhythms that lead us to health. And I thank you, God, that this is the same way for our spirit, for our souls. And so I just want to, I thank you, Lord. And I believe that you're speaking now to us. I believe that you want to speak to us. And so we respond right now by believing that. We would believe this morning that you would speak to our souls this week. We would anticipate what you want to do and how you want to meet us this coming week. And I just pray the blessing of God, the peace of Christ upon this spiritual family, this spiritual community. God, I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jim. I know this is something that we are learning as a congregation, and as we've been talking about it, it's those practical things, it's those practical ways and practice of it. And as we're talking about it in our homes, it's the practical ways, and when your kids are asking it, it's hard, right? Yes, but there's some practical ways that we can do that, and we're going to continue to do that together. So thank you for that word. Before we go on, I just want to ask you to keep the online people with us just for a little longer, and Joel just has a word that he wants to share.
God is so good. With his spirit, he speaks to us, and he brings in Jim to come speak with us, and it's right in line with what our church is saying. And that's how we know it's the Spirit, because whether it's Ben or Jim, it's in one accord. And I see Kristen nodding with me because we've been a part of something this week that I just want to share with you guys, because I feel the way it was shared with us aligns with what Jim was saying this morning. It aligns with the Spirit, and it's for Unity Baptist. As you know, if you get the weekly emails, we have a thing called Inquiring of the Lord. And it's a prayer meeting that started about a year ago. And me and Ben were really excited to get this going. We're like, we want to hear from the Lord. We want to, he's going to speak to us. He's going to pour himself out. And we hit the ground running, and most people were scared off. But in that year, over this year, God has been so gracious to us and so patient, and he's been teaching us how to pray. Because as Baptists, when we get together and pray, it's a bunch of people talking, grandpa's surgery, Aunt Jane's leg, and let's get out of here. But surprisingly, there's other ways to pray. And he's been showing us. And actually, as it's been looking over the past year, as we pray, we're getting quieter and quieter. To the point where this week, there was three of us there. Three of us there, Kristen DeAndre, myself, and Annika Bender. And as we sat there, we said, it doesn't matter who's here. Let's listen. And we sat there in silence on Zoom for 98% of the time. Communal silence. People saying, Lord, speak to us. Your servants are listening. And you know what was crazy? At the end of it, the three of us got the exact same word from the Lord in three completely different pictures. He spoke to each one of us in a way that we would hear it with one message. And so I believe because he spoke to three of us the same word, that this word is for unity. So I'm going to share it with you guys now, and I pray that the Spirit speaks to your heart on it. He said to us in three different ways, I'm coming to fill unity. You need to empty yourself. Our job in preparation for the Spirit to come and fill us is to empty ourselves. We are full of the world. We are full of selfishness. We are full of things that grieve the Spirit. And he's telling us to empty ourselves. And if we do not empty ourselves, we will miss being filled. He is speaking. We want to listen, and we want to be obedient.
Thank you, Joel, and thank you, God, for the message that he has brought to our church through those words and through the people that are seeking his heart and his word for our church. So, God, we, as we wrap up today, we claim that word that you gave to those three people, your servants here. We claim that for our church. God, may we be faithful in that. May we find ways that we are to empty ourselves, God. You have much work to do here. Thank you, Jesus. We're glad that you have been here today. I'm just going to give benediction, and I thought, well, it's getting a little late, we'll sing a song, but let's sing a song. We have time to sing a song of praise to Jesus. So I just invite you to close your eyes and receive this benediction this morning from Ephesians 3. May Christ dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Take that word with you into the week. God bless you as you go.